Welcome to the latest edition of Growing in Christ. Our goal is to use the Word of God to produce fruitful, mature believers in Jesus Christ. We hope this podcast will accelerate your growth and service to our Lord. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about journaling, and this may be a new idea or a new discipline for some of us here tonight, but I think you'll be encouraged and hopefully we'll have an idea of how you might be able to implement this in your own life, and I'd be open for any questions or ideas, or if some of you already journal from time to time, you can let us know later how you do that as well. But I thought it'd be helpful by just opening up with a definition. It's printed in your notes there of what journaling is. This comes out of Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And he says, a journal, which is a word usually synonymous with a diary. So girls keep diaries, and I guess boys keep journals. I don't know. You can call it whatever you want to. But a journal is a book in which a person writes down various things. As a Christian, your journal is a place to record the works and ways of God in your life. Your journal also can include an account of daily events, a diary of personal relationships, a notebook of insights into Scripture, and a list of prayer requests. I brought my journal, and I'll share a couple excerpts later on of some things I've written over the years. I don't keep a journal every single day. I don't write in it as often as I should and as I would like to. I was even just eager to go back over and study this discipline today with you as an encouragement to my own soul to get back into the habit of journaling more regularly. But I'll try and share a few examples of things that God has taught me over the years and things that I'm glad I wrote down that I wouldn't probably even remember if I hadn't written them down at the time. So we'll look at that even a little bit later on. But let's look at some passages of Scripture here that give us specific commands. And I think you'll see how this practice of journaling, of recording the works and ways of God, just chronicling daily events that are going on, jotting down thoughts and comments about personal relationships, how these things can help us to obey the commands of Scripture found in these different places. So let's start by turning to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is a pretty familiar verse. We've turned to it before. Right at the beginning of the conquest of Canaan, as Moses has finished his ministry of bringing God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery, through the wilderness, now to the very brink of the Jordan River to cross over to the Promised Land. Joshua now picks up the baton. He is handed the role of leadership over the nation of Israel, and it is a daunting task. I mean, Joshua had actually been there for basically the 40 years watching Moses as a leader, and he saw what Moses had to go through, and now it was his turn.
Yeah.
Not only did he have to tolerate these people, so to speak, but he also had to lead them in victory through all these different forts and castles and all these different massive enemies that lied ahead. Now, you remember that 40 years earlier, Joshua was one of the spies. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, hey, let's go into the land.
Yeah,
God will give us the victory. We can do it. So they had had a faith in God all that time. They were the only two from that generation that were still alive. All the others that were their generation had died out, and now it's a younger generation, and Joshua is given the leadership over this nation of Israel as they get ready to go in. So since Bob has been leading a study through the book of Joshua, hopefully that will start up again sometime, maybe later this fall. Maybe you can read verses 8 and 9 for us.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So did you notice any commands in there that God gave to Joshua and even commands that would apply to us as well?
Be strong and courageous.
All
right, excellent. Be strong and courageous in verse 9. Now, how could we maybe apply that in journaling?
Remembering what our blessings have been.
Okay, excellent. So remembering things that God has done in the past is going to give us a greater courage as we face new enemies, new adversaries, new fears. Any other thoughts?
It says to observe all things that are written here.
Okay, good. It says there to observe everything that is written here. And, you know, it says the beginning of verse 8, this book shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, it needs to be in our hearts. It needs to be on our lips. We need to be thinking about God's Word.
Day in, day out.
And thinking and meditating on it day and night. Who was it that recently was reading about meditation? Was that somebody here? Somebody was telling me recently. I was just learning about meditation the other day. You know, it might have been a friend of mine that's helping with the Christian club out at Copper Mountain. But somebody was just reminded. They were so excited. They just learned that the word meditation in Hebrew has the idea of mumbling or muttering on Scripture. And that's literally the idea, is that it's in our hearts, it's in our minds, we're just kind of reciting it. You know how we sometimes talk to ourselves, or you've got a shopping list and you got to get 5 different things at the store, okay, bread and milk and bananas, and you just kind of are mumbling to remember those things in your mind. And we can do the same thing with Scripture as well. As we think upon it, as we recite it over and over, as we kind of mumble our way through the day, we're reminding ourselves and speaking God's Word to ourselves. So this even ties in with the idea of Bible meditation, Bible memory, but then the idea of meditation, of thinking on it day and night, of filling our mind with truth. Now, how would journaling help us with that?
Keep a record.
Okay, keep a record.
By putting a date on it.
A record of what?
Whenever I can think of something, I do that.
Okay, putting a record of...
I'm going to pray for this to take place, and every once in a while I look back and say, okay, it did happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, this did happen. This pray did happen.
Excellent.
And, you know...
Yeah, it's a reminder.
It's a good way of saying that God answered your prayer.
Okay, good. So it could be a record if you write down prayers that you ask God, and then you can write the answers to prayer in the journal as well. It can help us with memorizing the Bible, Bob was saying. You can literally write the verse out one time or more times, and then
or
set a goal.
Or put that name on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, were you going to say something else?
It's a memory. You cause yourself to remember decisions you made and thank God for it, and for mistakes you make, and at least I find that an eternal to me. Reminds me of what I did not do and planned to do.
Okay, excellent. What we did do, what we didn't do sometimes.
Yes.
Reminds us sometimes even of our mistakes and our sins.
Mm.
And that can be appropriate to write those things down as well. Just think about at the very moment that you're writing out a Bible verse and maybe writing a thought that God brings to mind, or, you know, a quote that you hear, or if you're using a study Bible or using a commentary, writing some things out, writing about, maybe this applies to me in such and such a way. I need to love that person even though they said something mean to me this week. That you're, as you do that, in the act of journaling, you are actually meditating and you are thinking on Scripture. So you are, in the act of journaling, you are actually obeying God's Word to meditate day and night on the law of God.
You kind of do it without me thinking about it, but you can use it doing it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in those verses? You know, as Luther brought up, the purpose of meditating is so that you will be careful to do according to what is written. So all of our learning needs to be for the purpose of obedience.
Do not be discouraged.
All right?
Yeah.
Not to be discouraged. And again, as we think about God, as we think about His faithfulness in the past, it's okay. It's not something to be ashamed of. To write down, you know what, I'm just really scared about this right now. Write that down. Don't be afraid to admit your weakness and your fear. You're going to see in a moment, even the psalmist does that. That they would write down out of the depths of their heart what they were struggling with, what they were afraid of, what they were excited about. That's appropriate to write those kinds of things down. So if we're going to be strong and courageous, it's okay to say, man, I just know I feel really weak. I'm really afraid. Lord, would you give me courage? Would you help me to be strong? Thank you for how you've given me strength in the past. It's okay to write those kinds of things down in a journal and to you know, keep a record of what God is teaching you, what you're struggling with, but then to go back to God's promises, go back to the Word of God to help you to think those things through and then to meditate on the truth. Let's look over at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Over in the New Testament, this is right before Paul is going to give a listing of a number of the spiritual gifts. Okay, so we won't read the whole passage that lists quite a few of the spiritual gifts. He mentions things. Let's see, in chapter 12, he mentions things like prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy. There's a number of gifts that he's going to talk about, but just verse 3, if somebody could read that for us.
For I say to the great grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Mm. All right, good. And then from that, he goes right into the subject of spiritual gifts, which means we need to be doing an assessment of our giftedness. Where has God gifted us? Where does he want us to use our giftedness in the body of Christ to build up the body, to edify the body? Now, let me ask you a question. Should we think about ourselves?
Yeah.
Yes, we should. How should we not think about ourselves, according to this verse?
You know, just being someone important.
Okay. We shouldn't think of ourselves as though we're really important.
Yeah.
More highly than we ought to think. So that's human nature. We all tend to think of ourselves as more important than we really are. That's a danger we need to be careful of. As we journal, or we see it all the time, you know, it's a temptation for those of us that have Twitter, those of us who have Facebook. We want to update our statuses. We want to share with the whole world everything that's going on in our life. And there can get the sense of inflated ego of like, wow, my life's really important. And what I do, everybody else cares about, when in reality, people don't really care about everything that's going on. But so we don't want to think of ourselves too highly. At the same time, how should we think of ourselves? According to this verse.
Soberly.
With sober, not drunken, not drunken. Inflated or confused sense, but with a sober judgment, with a seriousness, with a clarity.
With a purpose.
With a purpose. Good.
Stay humble.
Absolutely. So we think of ourselves not for the purpose of puffing ourselves up. Yeah, actually, I am pretty good. Or, wow, look at what I did do. But for the sake of, wow, God, I am so unworthy that you would use me, and thank you, and Lord, please help me to, you know, to give you all the glory for what you do in my life, and help me to see my weaknesses, and help me to grow in those areas.
We are reminded, though, prophetically, what we did do, and we thank God we did do something.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do accidentally get what we got. We work at it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's appropriate to look back on ways that God has used us and ways he allowed us to serve him over the years.
Yes.
And to find joy in that. You know, Tom, you and I have talked about this before, just looking back over the years in your years of ministry, and even in just my short time of ministry, it is such a blessing to look back and see lives that were touched, lives that were changed, people that were saved, people that you saw grow, people that you got to baptize, people you were able to minister to them in times of suffering. Mm. And we can do all of that and think of ourselves in a sober way, not more highly than we ought to, but just, you know, thank you, Lord. And all of you are called by God to minister to others, to care for others, to do good works that are going to glorify God in heaven. And to look at those things and say, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to bless that person. Thank you for letting me be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or to serve you, you know, to serve in children's ministry over the years like Joe has been doing. You know, to help usher and to serve and greet people on a Sunday, and just different types of ministry that we have. It is a blessing and an honor to see that God has used us. And as we do that, as we think upon that, we can do it by journaling. It's okay to think about ourselves. So we're not necessarily used to doing that. I think we tend to be just more reactionary. We just kind of do whatever feels right at the moment. We're just, you know, going through life at such a hyper speed that we're not necessarily slowing down and thinking about ourselves, of being introspective, and not to the point that we're just focusing on ourselves all the time, but that we're taking an inventory, looking at ourselves, tracking our thoughts. It's almost like you At the beginning of the day, you start a tape recorder and you record your every word and every action. And then at the end of the day, you just play that back. Okay, what did I do? How did I act? What was I thinking about? What was I spending my time on? Just kind of replaying the day, whether you do it in the morning or doing it at the night. But stopping to think about ourselves soberly and each according with the measure of our faith to use the gifts that God has assigned to us. Okay, so that's a healthy thing as long as it's done with the proper balance and with the right motive of humility rather than, obviously, than pride.
If you get off of that, you really tear your prayer life up, too. Because you're focused on yourself and how I feel today. And, you know.
It's a great point. It really helps us it drives us to prayer when we look at ourselves and we think about ourselves in the proper way, our strengths, our weaknesses, how God has used us, opportunities or decisions that we have coming up, and then to pray over those things
as
well.
That's the essence of the relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a living relationship. We can talk with God. We can walk with God. And journaling is a very helpful part of that, to be able to write in a sense. In a sense, a journal can be your letter to God. As you talk with God, you wrestle with God, you think through issues, you keep track of things that are going on, and ultimately, the reader is God and yourself, and it could be that you, down the road, are able to pass that on to children to be blessed by that, but it's really meant to be something that you can be open with God about as you're thinking through issues. Jerry, did you have something?
Well, I just brought something to mind. When you journal, do you categorize it? In other words, do you put, like if you go and witness somebody and it went real well, you can write that in your journal. And then a year from then, you witness to somebody and they're struggling with it, how to do it. You could go back to your journal and see how it worked and what you did and what, if you write it down in detail. To me, you can use it as a tool.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You could talk a little bit later about some different methods, but let's just say, for example, you wanted to have like a 3-ring binder and you just use loose leaf paper. You could have a couple different tabs. Maybe one is for Bible reading and lessons God is teaching me. Maybe one is witnessing to my family and friends. And so you just jot down, today is August 29th, 2012. Got a chance to share with my coworker today. He kind of scoffed at me at first, but then he started to listen. I'm going to be praying for him and something like that. Mm-hmm. And then a year down the road, Bruce has been sharing about his witnessing, you see over time some progress that's being made, and you can see how God is working in people's lives. So you could break it down in categories. Something that I've tried a little bit, I haven't done this really regularly, but I just have one journal, and I just go from start to finish. And it takes me several years usually to get through even a book this size, so I'm not going through really rapidly. But what I've been doing is, like, if I'm writing a prayer request in there, I'll just box it so that kind of flags me. I can go back and glance over the last 5 or 10 pages quickly and see where my prayer requests are, and then maybe that helps me to follow up with answers to prayer or to be reminded of things I need to pray about. So that's helpful. Or maybe I've just toyed with, like, jotting down a few little...
border, you could write it in the border, like prayer, and
yes,
then like witness, or that way you don't have to actually categorize, you just can see at a glance, this is where I had a prayer, this is where I had a witness.
Exactly. You can write over in the margins, write little words or key ideas, or make little pictures up. I did something recently, I don't know if I have it toward the front, but you might even want to just come up with 3 or 4 little pictures, little stick figure type of scratches that help remind you of different kinds of things you journal about. Make a little picture of a Bible, and that's like a Bible meditation that you're doing. Or make a little person, and that's when you're witnessing to somebody. Or, make an arrow up to remind you you're praying to God, and like for a prayer in there, or something like that. So you could come up with like your own little shorthand to find things quickly if you want to go back and look at it later, or to be able to know what things to pray for, things like that. So it's very flexible. That's one of the exciting things about journaling, is you can do it however it works for you. There's no right way or wrong way. It's really a matter of what helps you to do do the things we've already talked about. Meditate on the law, to do the law, to be able to think accurately and soberly about ourselves, and then a few other things that we'll see here in these other verses. Let's look over to Psalm 62:8.
I read 7 and 8 together. For my God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us.
Okay.
God is a refuge.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. So what do we notice in those two verses about the command God has given to us?
My salvation, I want to depend.
The rock of my strength is my refuge.
To depend on God.
Rest in my salvation.
To rest in God.
Trust in Him at all times.
He is my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times. To see Him as our refuge, our hiding place.
And you pour out your heart.
Okay, good. And pour out your heart before Him in the middle of verse 8 there. These are all things, again, how can we trust in God by using a journal? How can that help us, perhaps?
Knowing it will be between you and Him.
Okay.
Your inner thoughts.
So it's a conversation with God.
Your inner thoughts.
You're writing your thoughts down.
Your fears and beliefs.
Right. It's okay to write down fears and then the beliefs and the trusting.
When you get down, and, I do something, I know that I'm not the only one that gets dealt with a lot. You can always go back to God's promises. You have a spot in your journal for God's promises.
Yes.
Things that He's kept in your life. And you can go back and refer to those. Like Billy tells me all the time, go back and look at something like Jesus has told you. Talk to Jesus and have a spot there for it.
That's a great idea, to have a special place you put God's promises, or put a star by those to remind you so you can quickly go back. Man, I need a promise from God today. I need to be reminded of what He's taught me in the past. Sure, let us know if you need any help or prayer. To just be able to somehow quickly go back and see some of the things that God has taught you and promises that you've seen as you've been reading through His Word. So that can be very helpful with trusting. And then even there in the middle where it says, pour out your heart before Him, certainly we do that in prayer, and we can do that through journaling, that we're just pouring, we're just spilling our guts. And we're talking to God, we're talking with God, we're working out things and thinking through it so that we can make sure that we respond not in fear but with faith to the trials that we go through in life, and remembering that God is a refuge for us. So I do assure you that journaling is going to help you to trust in God, to pour out your heart before Him, to be reminded that He is your refuge and your strength. And even as verse 7 said, to rest in God is our salvation and our glory. So if God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us upon the cross and raised His Son up in power on the third day, then He is the God of our salvation. He's the author of our salvation. He rescued us out of the pit of hell. And He is there for us. He loves us. He's our protector. He's our guide. He's our shepherd. And He's the lover of our soul. And we can rest in Him as the Savior. We can rest in our salvation and give Him glory. He's our rock, our refuge, our hiding place.
I love that song, Rock of Ages. I love that song.
Yeah. That's right. He's our Rock of Ages. We can hide in the cleft and hide in the shadow of His wings. We can find refuge and safety there. Some of you lived through or all of the Cold War, and you knew what it was like to realize that
bomb shelters,
bomb shelters were sometimes your only source of hope. You know there was that clear and present danger that at any point there could be a nuclear missile that was headed in our direction, and in schools they were trained of how to prepare for a nuclear attack. And I saw this when I was over in Israel. In fact, the settlement where I was there with 40 students, that they would take 40 students every semester who lived on the extension campus over in Israel. When I was there my senior year in college, we actually had a little dormitory with cabins that we stayed in. We had a classroom, we had a cafeteria, But our chapel was actually the bomb shelter that was there in case there was ever like a Scud missile attack. They had built those, and they still had them and kept them armed with filters that were updated. And even today, I mean, the reality of war, whether it's an attack from Syria or Iran or somewhere else, it's always there. And I think that just always gave me a greater sense of appreciation for this idea of God being my refuge, like a hiding place you can flee to when there's a threat, when there's difficulty, and there's nowhere else you can go where you're going to be safe, but you know that you'll be safe in Him as your refuge. Jerry, is everything okay?
Yeah, it's Robin. Trenton, the baby, is bleeding from his backside there.
Oh.
He's trying to get, Sharon has some stuff. She's going to go over there. She can't take care of it, so she's going to call me back. I might have to go over.
Okay.
He's had this problem ever since the party. My mom, little guy, is just really got a bad, bad rash, and that's way up high.
Okay.
Gary, how old is he?
Three.
Well, let's pray for Trenton real quick here, and for mommy too, because it's very scary. Okay. Billy, would you pray for that?
Glory to God. Father God, you know all, and you see all, oh God. Father, we lift up little Trent to you, oh God, that you touch and that you heal his body, oh God. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we, Lord, you said, when two or three come together and touch and agree, it shall be done, oh God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you well in advance, oh God, that you have met that need, oh God. Lord, as we lift him up to you now, Lord, as that need is being met today, we ask, oh God, that you touch and that you heal his little body, oh God. Lord, give him comfort as he rests, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we, Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, we ask.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That takes care of that.
Thank you. So we see that God is our refuge and our strength, and we can trust in him even in times like this. And journaling is sometimes a helpful way to just get down on paper and put down, instead of trying to hold on to all that tension and stress and work it all out, to just get it down, talk with God, write some things out, renew his promises in your heart, and it can be extremely helpful and minister to your soul as you trust in him. Look over at Psalm 77. And many of these psalms record really, David and the other psalmists journaling as they're writing songs of praise. Yeah. They're writing poetry. They're writing great moments of worship, and then great moments of
journals right here,
this, in a sense, is a journal of many of the highs and the lows of the life of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 77, verses 11 through 12.
I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds.
Okay. So what do those verses say that we should be doing?
Meditate.
Remember what he did for us.
Remembering the what?
The deeds of the Lord.
The deeds of the Lord, the wonders of old. So here's poetic parallelism. You have two different lines that are saying the same thing. We remember his deeds. We remember his wonders. Going his back miracles. Even certainly to the time of the Exodus out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, coming to the Promised Land. But don't let it stop there. God has shown wonders and miracles in your life as well, and remember those things. Verse 12, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Journaling is a great way for us to remember, to bring back to memory things that God has done in our lives, things that he teaches us from his word, and then things that he does in our lives, which are a living epistle of God's power and his grace and his transformation. Pondering all of his work. All of his work. So we need to remember and think about, even today, how he is at work. And we can do that as we journal.
I make you remember, he answered my prayer because of, so I remember this particular.
It sure does. Yeah, it really is amazing when you go back and in the moment, it's just every day, it seems like there's so many struggles, so many disappointments, so many hurts and prayer requests. But you go back and you look over the last year, over the last decade, and you see how God has answered prayer, how he always pulled you through when it seemed like your darkest moment, you had no idea how you were going to get out of it, and then it's like, oh, God did have a purpose and a plan there.
Well,
now I can
like
see that.
Church, mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit things that happened in the church.
Right.
Here, you know, you probably see that.
I'll actually read a journal entry for you later that I wrote during one of our hard times here at the church. Yeah. Just when I was discouraged.
It's like instant. We didn't have playground. Now with the now we have playground. Now all the kids, all they want to do is go out there and play. And we had it.
That's a praise for sure. And then verse 12, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. So if nothing else, if you're struggling, I don't know what to write in my journal, you can just start out by saying, what are some mighty deeds God has done in my life? Just start by meditating and thinking and pondering upon how he has worked in your life over your lifetime.
That's why it's good to make the dates.
Yeah. Don't try and do it all at once, but at least, you know, if you're just like, I have no idea what to even say or how to start, just start thinking about God's goodness and his wonders and his mercy. Just think about how he has worked in your life and the blessings that you have. And then as Jerry was stepping out, you mentioned the idea of God's promises, and whether, again, it's you have a special section in your journal, or maybe you just star it or highlight it or somehow designate, like, these are promises of God, and those are things you want to go back to again and again. In fact, I started working on it. I still have a ways to go, but I've got a page in the back of my Bible here that I want to develop over time. It's called Prayers for the Afflicted. There are just so many people who are hurting and who need prayer, and I just, sometimes it's like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I feel so inadequate. And I just made a list of, let me just read these. These are some ways that I know biblically we should be praying for people who are hurting. We can pray for comfort, for hope, for peace, for protection, for their witness, for wisdom, for endurance, for faith, for joy, for patience, that they will glorify God, for forgiveness, for repentance, for rest, for deliverance, for the armor of God, for justice to be done, for healing, for victory over temptation, to be heavenly minded, for grace, for self-control, for a fear of God, for love, for holiness, for fellowship, for contentment. I'm sure there's others, but those are some. And I just thought, as I come across quotes or scriptures that are good prayers to pray for people, I want to have those in my Bible. And in a sense, this is like a mini journal just that I want to carry around with me and have to help minister to people as well. But somewhere, you know, somehow, keep track of some of the promises of God that he teaches you about and things that you can be praying over even in difficult times. One other one here in the Psalm, Psalm 102, verse 18.
It's terrific. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
Okay.
I have a book of my grandfather, who was a preacher. I never met him. And I have a collection of some of his sermons and thoughts, and I go every so often and look at that, and it reminds me of things that this the generation yet to come. Mm-hmm. I was created when he was living, but he blessed my heart. I've done many sermons from just from his scripture that he used. I relive his life, in other words.
That is a great legacy to have that from a family member. And I want this to be an encouragement to you. I don't want it to be daunting and overwhelming. Sometimes if I start to journal, I think, oh, what if my kids are going to read this someday? Like, you don't want to like get too overly analytical about it. But as you just write what God is teaching you, what you're struggling with, what you're growing with, it will be a blessing to your family down the road. And that's not ultimately the reason that we do it, but God can use that. And I have been mindful at times that as I write about maybe how I notice my kids growing or prayers that I have for them, they might be reading that 20, 30 years from now. Maybe after I'm gone, they'll read that, and maybe God would use that to help grow them and encourage them too, you know. So that is one more aspect of this, of just realizing what we record and write down, and maybe this is just even encouragement to keep letters of correspondence or save those emails. It's harder in a digital age to keep a tangible copy of conversations that we have with people.
Non-believer will pick up, go, wow.
Yeah.
This person had these things, and if I was blessed, maybe, something like that could be good to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's why whenever I do it, and I don't do it often either, but whenever I do it, I do put dates on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I highly recommend that, too.
Fact,
it is good to have dates.
Look up there, what Bonnie has, too, for tape about for me.
Uh-huh, the prayer journal. Yeah. Yep. Good. So here we have an encouragement to record God's deeds for a generation to come, for children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Yeah. Friends, family, we don't know how God might use that. And it will bless you, but it may even have blessings that outlast any of our own lifetimes. And I know that there are men and women throughout history that kept journals that we benefit from that today. George Mueller and Jonathan Edwards and David Brainerd and Charles Spurgeon and St. Augustine, and the list goes on and on of people that kept memoirs or journals or diaries, and as they jotted down things, it's amazing to see God's faithfulness over the centuries and to be blessed by other people that took the time and made the effort to write down what God was teaching them. Tracy Mullins says in an article on journaling, she says, I have found that the best way for me to remember God's faithfulness and power is to record my journey with Him. My journal is my own personal testimony to God's deeds and character, and reading it helps me moving ahead on the right path. So let's talk about a few benefits of journaling. First of all, journaling helps us to slow down and process information. We all tend to move very fast in this day and age. We wake up with alarm clocks. Many of us whisk off to get to work. We have demands as we care for our kids, as we care for our spouses, our grandkids, as we have bills to pay, as we try and keep up with our phone calls and our text messages and our Facebook accounts and the blogs and the online news and television. I mean, they don't just give you like the... if you watch CNN, they don't just give you the main news headline. They give you a ticker tape of constant information you need to be having at all times. Scores, statistics, stock market update. I mean, it's just we're inundated with information. There's no time to just stop and catch your breath. And and many of us, even as we're driving, we're doing three or four different things at once. We're thinking about different things, talking with different people, planning out things. We've got music on. And we need to just sometimes slow down and process all the data that's coming in. This quote by Ron Klug, a journal is an aid to concentration. It's a mirror for the soul, a place to generate and capture ideas, a safety valve for the emotions, and a powerful tool for spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. So it can be helpful for us to think and concentrate. I have in our notes here, many of us suffer from sensory overload. We just have all of our senses are being bombarded simultaneously. We have information more than we can handle. And we're the victims of our own craving for knowledge and information. It's just like we get some and then we want more and then we want more. And we bear the concerns of the whole world. Things that a century ago where they did not have television, they didn't even have radio, they didn't know about all the tragedies and all the disasters that were going on all over the world. And now those things are right in our living room.
Yeah.
And we live with them constantly, and we try and carry all this pressure, and we just get overloaded. And we need to be able to just slow down and talk with God and journal out our thoughts and take time to take record of what God is teaching us, what we're learning, what we're scared of, what we're excited about, where we're moving in life, to have some peace. Writing helps us to think more clearly and to put our thoughts into words. So I think for most of us probably will, maybe writing is some effort. Not everybody is naturally gifted or enjoys writing, but most of us can't carry a thought for very long without getting distracted with something else. And writing does help us to kind of keep our attention on one thing at one time, to carry our thoughts out all the way and to make connections. And, you know, if you just write, but then you write one sentence and you realize, well, maybe that wasn't exactly right. And then you're kind of writing something else to correct that or to take that a step further. And now, what does the Bible say about that? And then you're looking it up, and then you're writing something about that. Like, you're developing thought that you're not going to be able to do if you just try and think it and keep it all up here in your head. I find journaling helpful for thinking and for praying. And in a similar way, you know, for, like, preparing to teach or to preach, it's helpful to write things down. When you're reading a book, to write things down that you're learning, ideas that you have, connecting thoughts, because writing will help you think more clearly than just trying to keep it all up in your head. Sorry, I can't count here, but this should be number two. Journaling helps us in prayer. You have that as number two?
Three.
Yeah, that should be number two. Journaling helps us in prayer. Psalm 31, verses 9 and 10, the psalmist says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief." It's like he's been sobbing so long and so hard. His eyes are bloodshot and they just are pounding with pain. They're stinging from grief. "My soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away." So is it okay to talk about our sin and our frailties? Yes. And notice how the psalmist is talking to God about these things.
Yes.
And they actually happen to be recorded so that centuries later we still have this psalm and that we can pray this to the Lord. And sometimes you just might want to write out the verse straight out of the Bible and say, "Amen to that. That's how I feel today." Sometimes you might want to put it in your own words and rewrite it. But you see even here how the psalmist is praying to God, writing out prayers and songs to God, and that is perfectly fine. The next one, journaling helps us overcome sin and temptation. And this is a very helpful technique when it comes to biblical counseling. When somebody is struggling with a particular sin, they keep falling back and slipping back into that sin, and sometimes it feels like, man, I just don't have any control over this. It happens so fast, it's over, and then I look back and I think, man, how did that happen? And I wish I would stop doing that. Well, a helpful technique when it comes to overcoming temptation is to journal out the situation that's going on. There's four basic components to this. Lou Priolo talks about this in his book, The Heart of Anger. For example, the first bullet point, what happened that provoked me to anger? You know, most people, they just blurt out, they lash out, they threaten, they storm off. But what we need to do is we need to slow down and rewind and think, what was it that actually happened that provoked me to that anger? In other words, what circumstance or circumstances, maybe there were multiple things, led me to become angry? That would be a very healthy thing for you to journal out. Slow down, rewind, and think about what caused you to get angry. Secondly, what did I say and or what did I do when I became angry? This might have been simply a thought that you had. It might have been a word that you said, or it might have been some actions that were taken. Write out how you responded to the circumstances that you faced. Thirdly, what does the Bible say about what I did and or said when I became angry? In other words, what is the biblical terminology for what I did and or said when I became angry? Maybe somebody would say, well, I got really angry, and because I struggle with the disease of alcohol, I went back and drank a case of beer. Well, that's not using biblical terminology. Let's think about biblically how that was handled and how the Bible says we're not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, and how the wine is a mocker, and drunkenness is dishonoring to the Lord. And so we need to use biblical terminology instead of just using psychological terms that are out there for self-help, to just think, what does the Bible say about what I did? What was right? What was wrong? And does the Bible have anything to say about this issue and how I responded? That's very, very important. If you're saying, I have no idea what the Bible says about this, I don't know where to go, I don't see the word pornography in the concordance, how am I going to figure out what the Bible says about this? There are ways to overcome that. The Bible uses words like purity. The Bible uses words like lust. There are ways to trace even a contemporary issue back to the Bible and see that, oh, it actually has a lot to say about struggles that people have even today. So if you need help with that, don't be afraid to ask. I can give you some resources that will help you to find some Bible verses that deal with whatever the particular sin has that you might be struggling with. Anger is a very easy one to look up, anger in a concordance, and you're going to find all kinds of verses that talk about anger and how to overcome that. And then fourthly, here's now the remedy. What should I have done or said when I became angry? Mm. Now, you can't undo what you already did. If you said something wrong, it needs to be confessed, and you need to go back and make peace and ask for forgiveness from that person. But now you need to say, what should I do next time? What could I have done differently? How can I undo the damage that was done? So you're rethinking, you're retracing your steps, and then you're choosing the right path instead of the wrong path. That's a very, very good process in journaling to think through. Now, anger is one example, but are there any other sins or temptations that maybe come to mind that could be used for journaling? I mean, there's all kinds of them, but just any that come to mind?
Burn the chicken the other night.
Burn the chicken. How dare you?
I think coveting, this is a big one.
Okay. Coveting. And again, you notice that this is requiring us to do some self-examination. People that are just living their lives and doing their thing and never stopping to slow down and reflect, they're never going to say, you know what, I really struggled with covetousness today. And, you know, that was actually very covetous for me to say that or to think that. Like, it takes some self-examination. It takes some thinking about ourselves soberly to do that. But when we're willing to be honest and say, I struggle with covetousness and jealousy sometimes, what is it that's causing that? And what did I do when I didn't get my way, when I didn't get what I thought I had a right? What does the Bible say about that? And beginning to, what we're doing essentially is we're counseling ourselves, which is a very godly thing to do. We're thinking it out, we're slowing it down, and then we're counseling ourselves through biblical issues. You know, maybe it's fear or anxiety or
discontentment.
Ten Commandments, just started to talk.
Any of the Ten Commandments, violating the Ten Commandments, you know, thinking hateful, angry thoughts, which is a form of murder, thinking lustful thoughts, which is a form of adultery, coveting anything that our neighbor has that God hasn't given us yet, putting any God before him. We find all different kinds of ways in our hearts to dishonor the Lord and break the Ten Commandments. And you get the idea here. There's many different things. This is a healthy practice. Again, if nothing else, go to a place like the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. You just stop and you think about love. How did I show love today? Where did I not show love like I should have? Who is it difficult for me to love? You know, you start just thinking out and slowing down and journaling out things like the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to realize that there's a lot of sin that's still there that needs to be dealt with to overcome. Number five, the next one here. Journaling keeps us accountable. Journaling keeps us accountable. It's good to set goals in the spiritual disciplines and to measure your progress. So we've spent a whole quarter talking about Bible intake, prayer, fasting, learning, worship, silence, and simplicity, and all these different issues that we've talked about. Now we've talked about journaling. What better place to make a log of, like, okay, here's the disciplines I learned about in 2012. What is one that I'd really like to focus on in the next year, and I'd like to grow in, and I'd like to measure my progress? Like, this is where I am right now, and this is where I'd like to be a year from now. You know how kids, they have the door frame, and you pencil out, okay, this is when she is 3 years old, this is when she was 4 years old, and then 7, 8, 9, 10, pretty soon 16, and you have a whole record of the progress. And I wish it was easy for us to do that in our spiritual lives. I wish we could just step on a scale and it told us like where we're strong and where we're weak spiritually. It's a little more difficult and subjective than that. There's no simple way to just take a test and for me to tell you, okay, these are the five areas you're strong in, these are the three areas that you're really weak in, you failed in these, you succeeded in these. No, it takes a matter of searching ourselves and going back to the Word of God and to measure the progress that we're making. And over time, you will see progress as God grows you and makes you more mature. You may not see it in a month or even a year, but over time, You'll begin to see progress and fruitfulness. And you'll look back at things and say, I did this afternoon. I looked at my journal from 1994 when all I did was talk about girls and basketball statistics. And I saw just how shallow I was in things that I said. And I was a believer. But it's embarrassing, but at the same time, it's like, thank you, Lord, for helping me to grow. But I think a little bit deeper and a little bit more spiritual now than I did back then.
Praise the Lord.
And so there's growth that can be measured there. I didn't see it. I was blind to it at the time, but now I see how God has grown and matured me in areas. And hopefully 10 years from now, I can look back and say, boy, I've grown from how I was in 2012. You know, that's how we see as we look back in time and can mark our progress. What's that?
2020 hindsight,
that's right.
I think it's kind of a good thing you can't measure it, though, Pastor, because it keeps your trust in the Lord going and growing.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Sometimes God saves us from seeing our successes because we would just end up getting puffed up over it anyway. But it is encouraging to see progress, and I think we can all see that. And that's a way we can encourage other people, too. It's just to encourage them with how we see God blessing them and using them and how we've seen them grow.
With me, when he does point out some progress, I immediately see I've got a long way to go.
And I know for me, I never make excuses. You know, when I want to believe God for something or something happened that kind of got me sidetracked, I don't like to find excuses. You know, well, if the wind hadn't blown today, this could have been okay. But there are times when I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as the day is long. You know, because I don't like to make up kind of patterns, kind of make things soft. If I got to hit concrete, then let me hit it. But I don't want a pattern. You know. If I'm wrong, Lord, forgive me, but I'm guilty. If I say something to my wife that's not right, Lord, I'm guilty. I have to deal with that, you know. And so, for me, you know, I have this journal that I keep sometimes. Don't tell nobody.
Good. Now you have to keep it more than you do.
But I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his goodness. Because when you look back and you say, thank God, I'm not where I used to be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever level I come to in life, you know, Lord, I don't want to be in the same place this time next year. Mm-hmm. At the end of a year, I may say, Lord, help me to grow. You know, but I want to grow higher and deeper in you. But I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same place. You know, if it's giant leap, small leap, it's all good. But I don't want to make excuses for my spiritual life.
And journaling will help us even sometimes to weed out and smoke out those excuses that we use when when we realize, like, this is something I struggle with and this is why I think it's okay. Well, actually, maybe that's not a good reason for me to be doing this. Or, you know, we begin to realize and actually expose some of those excuses that we tend to use to try and cover up and soften our sin.
And it's very easy when trials come. And if we are a drinker, you know, and we believe in God to help us in that area, you know, and then a trial will come and we will fall back, you know, and we'll blame it on, well, if it hadn't been for someone ran into my car or someone said something to me.
It's someone else's fault, yeah.
But things like that, you know. But when a trial's come, you know, and if you want to get past that trial, what do you do in the middle of that trial? You know, do you glorify God or make excuses? You know, why you're here? What if it hadn't been for? And there you go. You know, but for me, you know, when a trial's come up, I'm very careful, you know, about what I say.
Yeah. God tends to teach us. We usually are listening better to God in our trials.
Jerry would be done already.
You spend a lot of time at the curb, don't you?
Whoops.
Here's some suggested questions. George Whitfield, the great revival preacher, he actually used these every single day, which this overwhelms me when I think about this every day, but it's still very helpful to think about. Yeah. He said, have I been fervent in prayer? Have I used stated hours of prayer? Have I used ejaculatory prayer each day, which is just spontaneous prayer, talking with God, with conversation? After or before every deliberate conversation or action, did I consider how it might tend to God's glory? After any pleasure, immediately given thanks. Have I planned business for the day? Have I been simple and recollected in everything? Have I been zealous in undertaking and active in doing what good I could? Have I been meek, cheerful, affable in everything I said or did? Have I been proud, vain, unchaste, or enviable of others? How have I done in eating and drinking? Have I been thankful? Have I been temperate in sleep? Have I taken time for giving thanks according to William Law's rules? Which I haven't read William Law's rules. This makes me want to go back and read what William Law has to say about giving thanks and what the rules are for doing that. But have I given thanks in everything? Have I been diligent in my studies? Have I thought or spoken unkindly of anyone? Have I confessed all my sin? So there's a powerful list right there that we can use in reflection. And this is a self-accountability. You're not necessarily sharing this with anybody else, but it's just for you to set goals, to mark progress, to praise God, and to also confess our failures and inadequacies. The next one, journaling builds a monument of God's faithfulness. I liked that phrase, and that came out of a quote that was in Donald Whitney's book, page 210. I think this quote might have been what inspired me for the first time to ever really start to take journaling more seriously. And again, I don't do it every day, but as often as I do it, I think that the journaling that I have done and I want to continue to do came out of this quote here. For a considerable period, I've been resolved on keeping a register of the dealings and providences of my Heavenly Father towards me. But what through want of what I considered a fit opportunity, and through what was, I fear, a greater cause, spiritual sloth, I have hitherto neglected it. When I first began to think of the subject, various objections appeared to me to lie against diary writing altogether. It would give room for spiritual pride. It led persons to measure themselves by themselves. And as it is not easy to determine between the motions of the spirit and the natural outworkings of the unrenewed conscience or the artifices of the deceiver, there's a danger of forming incorrect judgments. Remember, we talked about we need to think sober judgment. So there are some dangers there. These and other reasons, excuses, as Billy said earlier, kept me a length of time from determining for the thing of journaling. Of late, I have got over these objections entirely, and now of the opinion that such a record may be of such service to an individual to furnish him with matter for prayer and self-examination, and to be a monument to God's faithfulness. What is a monument? A monument is a place you can go back to and remember something significant that happened there. To go to a monument of a battle, to go to a monument of a great accomplishment, to go to a monument of a hero. And we, in our lives, have monuments of God's faithfulness that we need to be able to go back to and say, thank you, Lord. You were faithful. You were good. And to go again and again and be reminded. And not even necessarily that we're going back and reading our journal all the time, but I've found that things that God has taught me over the years that I journaled about, I have a tendency to remember those things better than if I don't write about it. Lessons that God has taught me, just by writing it down, it helps to put it in my heart and in my mind, and to remember verses and to remember lessons, quotes, and so forth. Just the fact that I write it down aids my memory of God's faithfulness in my life. So let me read a couple samples for you, just of things I wrote, that some special junctures in ministry and in life. This first one is from Friday, June 16th, 2006. This was 2 weeks after I started here at the church. I've been ministering as pastor at Yucca Valley for 2 weekends now, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity God has given me. It is a new experience to be preaching every week. I'm grateful for my training at the Master's Seminary, but now I still have much to learn. I know that many ministry challenges lie ahead, but I'm very grateful for the early encouragement of some dear saints. And then I had just gotten a couple cards in the mail that week from a couple people in the church, and I just quoted out, I wrote out the words that they had written to me, words of encouragement, and I'm so glad I did, because I would not have possibly remembered what they said. But one of them, as I read it, I'm like, I totally forgot that person wrote me that card, and that was so meaningful. And just by writing out a few thoughts there, it was an encouragement. Thursday, November 1st, 2007. In less than 24 hours, my son Dylan will be in the operating room. Once again, I must grapple with the pain of seeing my precious child suffer and accept even the possibility of his death. Yet because God is good, wise, and sovereign, I know he will do what is best for my son. I do pray for Dylan's complete healing and for minimal pain and discomfort, but most importantly, I pray that God will be our portion and our refuge, and that his will be done. And I'm so grateful for how God answered that prayer, but it was good for me. It was forcing me to write out my trust in God during that time that I didn't know what was going to happen. And then to be able to go back afterwards and say, thank you, Lord. God. He answered that prayer. And I'm thankful he gave us the faith as a family and as a church to get through that difficult time. Saturday, August 28th, 2008. And I would say, as I think back about the history of the church and my time here, that summer, 2008, was probably the darkest and the most difficult time. Attendance-wise, financially-wise, the morale of the church was very low. And I just wrote, this week went way too fast. I can't believe it's already Saturday night and that I'm preaching twice tomorrow. Quite a few visits and meetings, and it feels like so many in the church are discouraged and tempted to leave. Sometimes I find myself doubting God. But this is God's church, not mine. He is building his church according to his plan and his prerogatives. He has called me to preach, to pray, to shepherd, to equip, to evangelize, and to leave the growth up to him. In the past, I've trusted the Lord to a degree. Up to now, my trust has involved minimal cost to me personally. But now, God is testing me to the point where trusting him is really starting to hurt. Faith is becoming painful, yet I want to be totally weak so that God can perfect his power in me. I want to be totally out of the picture so that God receives all the glory for whatever he does. Oh Lord, please have mercy and shine your face upon us again. Please show your favor and grow your church and bless your people for your name's sake. I rest in the Lord and wait patiently for you. Psalm 37:7. And if you look at not that this prayer itself is what God used, but as we all were broken before the Lord, from that point on, God began to grow and to bless.
I was going
to
say, now, look where it's at.
It felt like we were at the end of the rope. And I'm grateful again that I wrote those things down to know how hard and how painful it was, but also that God gave us the faith to persevere through that time and trust in him.
It shows off that you aren't human.
Yeah.
Hey, you could do anything, Pastor. You need him.
And then this other one, Monday, November 14th, 2011. This is just a more recent one, and I wanted to just share kind of how practical it is sometimes. Went to sleep around 1:30 a.m. last morning, up at 8:40 a.m. Read Acts chapters 10 through 12 on the conversion of the Gentiles, growth of Antioch, the martyrdom of James, imprisonment of Peter, a miraculous rescue mission, judgment on proud Herod. So all I did there is I journaled the day, when I went to bed, when I got up, and the passage of scripture I read, and a quick summary of the key points that were in that passage. Then I said, Father, protect me from the sin of Herod, who when he gave an oration, did not give God the glory, according to chapter 12, verse 23. You are a jealous God who will not share your glory with another. So I'm trying to turn the scripture reading into a prayer to God, into a meditation or a thought that I can carry with me the rest of the day. And, hopefully that helps us to see some ways, some different ways that you can write about things. Mm-hmm. Some ideas for journaling as we wrap up here. First of all, just start small. Don't feel like you have to write a whole book or anything. Just start small. Write a sentence. Keep it simple. Start by writing the date, as Joe recommended, and I also would highly recommend write the date, not only the day of the week or the month, but even the year, because as time goes on, you won't remember what year that was in unless you have that as well. So right now it doesn't seem like it matters. I mean, do I have to write 2012 every entry? But you'll be glad you did later when it accumulates over time. So start by writing the date. Maybe jot down the passage of scripture that you read in the last day, and maybe a main thought from the passage. One counselor calls that the wonderful thing. What was the wonderful thing that you learned in the Bible that day? That encouraging word, a short phrase, a promise, a prayer, a new insight, a characteristic of God, just some wonderful thing that you're going to cling to and that you want to write down to help you.
Sometimes what I do is, and I haven't done this for so long, but if it's a pray for so-and-so or pray for something, and then I look back and it did happen, mm-hmm. and I write down that date, it did happen, and I don't want to throw away, but I write it down.
That's a great point. Write the date in there of when that prayer was answered, too.
Yeah, when it happened or something, and it's like, wow, he does answer prayers, you know.
That's right. Yeah, we see that as we look over time. Use a Bible study that already provides questions. This is a suggestion. You don't have to do this, but we have a whole bookshelf in our church library of Bible study guides for almost every book in the Bible. Let's take, for example, the book of John. I've got a study guide of John 1 through 11. If in the next few months you wanted to read through those chapters in John, and there's actually questions in there that you can answer. And rather than writing in the book itself, you could write in your journal. You could answer the questions to a Bible study guide in your journal, and that's going to help you to learn how to write things out and think things through and look at a text of Scripture and then meditate and reflect on it personally. So that's a suggestion you could try. The next one, find the format that works best for you. For some people, writing out with a pencil or a pen, maybe get yourself a nice pen. Maybe get yourself a nice journal. This was a gift to me. Maybe get something that's special that you keep as a journal. Some prefer a three-ring binder. Some people prefer a spiral, like a school notebook. Actually, at this point in my life, I've turned out to have three journals. I have this journal that I carry around with me and sometimes jot quotes and ideas in there. I have a journal that I have on my laptop where if I happen to be typing and I want to journal something on there, I'll journal on there. And also, I've gone back over the last couple of years, and any emails, like our annual family newsletters, I've copied and pasted all that into my journal. Email, when Natalie and I were emailing back and forth in college, and emails that I've sent to the deacons when we were working through key issues and talking through church things, I've compiled all that into my journal because I want to have a record of what God has done in my life and in my ministry and in our church and in our family. And digitally, I can just copy and paste and have all that in one place. And it's already well over 100 pages, single space, just with a record of, again, a monument of God's faithfulness. So that can be very helpful. If you type faster, you might want to do that. I find it helpful to write sometimes, like if I'm just spending time in the Word and in prayer, I like to just write it out with a pen on paper. But sometimes typing is easier. And then actually, on my iPad, I do that as well. I'll just sometimes, if I have that handy, I might journal on there. So I have kind of three different places, and I can compile it all later. So do what works for you, but don't feel like you're bound to one style or one system. Experiment with it. Next, be yourself. Don't try to be overly poetic or dramatic about what you write. Don't feel like you have to write like somebody else writes. Just be yourself and write in a conversational tone of how you would talk to God and how you're going to talk to yourself as you counsel yourself and work through issues. Just put pen to paper and express your thoughts and see where they lead you. Next, find a time that is convenient, and often you'll want to include it with your quiet time. Maybe in the morning if you read your Bible then, maybe at night as you're finishing up the day, just spend a couple minutes and reflect on what you did that day. Jot down a couple things you did, went to Bible study. Wednesday night, I was told I need to start journaling. Okay, so I'm going to give this a try and see what happens. I mean, it's okay to just write out what you're thinking about and see where it takes you. Draw pictures. There's nothing wrong at all. If you are more an image type of person, I brought Natalie's journal where she takes sermon notes, and one thing that she'll do for herself or for the kids.
I like that, what she did.
She did this on Sunday. We were all sitting together as a family in the community church up in Big Creek. And she drew pictures of the Good Samaritan story because Dylan stayed in the service with us. So she did, like, step one is the guy walking down the road, and here's this grumpy guy here. And then step two, he's getting beat up. And step three, the Levite and the priest walk by. And I mean, you get the idea. You can do this. If you want to illustrate a passage as you're reading it in the Bible, don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed by that. I've done that before as I'm thinking through issues or if I'm trying to understand, like, I think it was when I was reading in Ezekiel, and I was talking about the chariot and the wheels and the throne and the angels. I'm like, what is going on here? So I just started kind of trying to draw it out so I could get a picture of what in the world the Bible was talking about. Feel free to chart out, diagram, draw a map. Be visual as you write things. That's one of the benefits of this kind of a journal, because you can write and scrawl and script and illustrate things however you want to when you have it on paper. At morning or evening, write a summary and reflection on recent events. Okay, so that's easy to do, just to write down recent things that are happening. You're just stating factual information. Then you might want to jot down what you thought about it, how it went, what you liked, what you didn't like. Take sermon notes in your journal. I would suggest, rather than using the insert in the bulletin, get a journal and write your sermon notes in that. Write down the passage that we're going to study together on Sunday morning, and then even if it's only two lines of something that God taught you, or a couple of key thoughts or a key quote or something, write down in a journal. That's actually a better place than a loose piece of paper that's probably going to get lost halfway through the week and not be that helpful. And then you might even, after you've taken notes on sermons, Bible studies, personal reading, and so forth, then maybe take a little time Sunday afternoon or Monday morning and reflect on what you heard. I found that helpful. When I go to a conference, I get so much information. I'm taking vociferous notes. I like to take lots of notes and try and learn, but then I've got to go back and kind of decompress all that information and figure out what are the top two or three things that God taught me through the course of this week. And that's very helpful to just go back and reflect and meditate on what you studied in life groups and on Sunday morning and then on Wednesday night and other Bible studies. Go ahead, Lynn.
It's funny that you say to write your sermon notes on a journal. I don't keep a journal currently, but I have 2 or 3 years of the churches, the handouts where I've made little notes to myself or done little Bible studies and write little things to myself of how I think a verse might apply. And I've got, like, you know the box that ESV Bible comes in? I've been sticking them in there. and I sometimes will review them, or I want to kind of compile them at some point, you know, and put them in some place. But I'm putting them in my bookcase.
That's great.
Them, and that's, I don't have a journal, but that's what I do. I'll take this and put it in there, and my dad's Bible study and the church stuff, and
that's great.
Then my dad says, "You need that handout for last week." I'm like, "Oh gosh, what is it?"
Well, see, she's doing her own type of journal.
That's right, exactly.
Okay, so figure out your own system. I mean, it's all kind of in my bookcase, but it's not like bound or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday I'll get it. That's right. Well, I have it. That's a start.
In Bible study, ask questions. I find this helpful. Ask yourself questions. You know, what was going on? Who was talking here? What happened? Was that right or wrong of how that person responded? Or why did this happen? I don't understand. Isn't this different than what it says over here? I mean, just ask questions, and then you're sort of feeding your own curiosity to answer those questions and study it out further on your own. Research and answer them. Try using newer technologies. Some people might want to do things even like blogging is literally, that word came out of web log. It's a web log. It's like a web diary or a journal, and it's become sort of a technology all of its own. But if people want to blog out what they're reading about or what they're learning and reflections they have, that's turned into quite a helpful way for some people to talk and to think and to share. So you could do that. Voice dictation, I mean, somebody might even want to do that. You carry around a recorder, or if you have a smartphone, there are apps that you can just record throughout the day, things that you're thinking about, things that you need to remember, and, you know, prayers to God. And then you can actually save those audio files, or you can even have that transcribed over into text. So, you know, it may be for somebody that would work well to do it like that.
Yeah, Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Marty has that. I got it recently. I'm using it to transcribe my sermons, and it doesn't do a perfect job. Like, there's still lots of typos and stuff, but at least I have a full manuscript of what I said from the pulpit, and I could go back and look at that later. So there are ways that you can, like, transcribe and get the full voice to text from something. And then lastly, get a journaling Bible. That would be another idea. You might want to just do regular paper or get a simple journal like this. A journaling Bible. Another alternative, which I've never tried this, but there's actually one called the ESV Journaling Bible. If you open it up, it has two columns like this, but it has a third column that is completely blank. Every page in the Bible has a blank space where you can write sermon notes or you can write personal meditations. And some people are actually keeping their own Bible as a journal where they're writing things right in there. And that's another idea. It's a little bit of a bigger Bible because you've got it right in there, but then you're not carrying two books around. So you might want to think about that. I knew of one friend in seminary who I thought this was the coolest idea. I was jealous that I didn't think of it. But he started a Bible his first week of seminary, and he took that same Bible to every class and to every chapel, and he took all of his notes in that Bible, so that at the end of 4 years, he had a Bible that was full of all the comments that all the professors and all the pastors had said on the Word of God. And it was just like a commentary right there, all in one place. So that was a really neat idea. I mean, there's nothing to say you couldn't do something like that on your own as well. Mm-hmm.